Welcome to Evans Joe's Podcast, official podcast of the NCDA.
You want to know what's that? Grown men playing basketball.
A place where everyone seems to get
picking up.
And now here's your host, Josh Raymer. All right.
This just in at the CBS News Desk. Recent research suggests that dodgeball is the source of AIDS in Africa. More fallout from the local community at 11.
What the... Did you just come up with that, like, off the top of your head?
Yes, I did.
Alright, welcome everybody to the fourth episode of the National College Dodgeball Association's podcast.
More commonly known as Average Joe's Podcast.
Mm-hmm, and I'm Ben Subcheck.
And I'm Josh Raymer, back on the mic.
Alex Heichelbeck is in Japan.
Yeah.
So it would be very difficult for him to do a podcast from where he is.
Yes, konnichiwa, Alex.
Yes, good day indeed. We've got a lot of issues to cover here, Josh. Let's go ahead and first cover the fact that we took forever to get this one out.
And we apologize to our four listeners, ahead of time that we kept you guys waiting for so long. I know that you were just sitting next to your computers checking the NCDA site every day to see.
You're refreshing, like, every minute to see.
Just to make sure, and we apologize for that. But, you know, unfortunately, life kind of kicks you in the face sometimes, and important stuff like this podcast kind of gets put on the back burner. So
I mean, how many we had this planned out, ready to go several times, and then, like, the day of the shoot, if you will, one of us had to call and just be like, I can't do it today, man, something came up. And and then of course we have to rewrite the script because so much has happened in the last few months in National Dodgeball,
and yes, and school doesn't help. Like Ben said, life, you know, just kind of hands you a lemon, and so we had to revise our script several times, and now we're here bringing you this fourth episode, finally.
Mm-hmm. So let's, why don't we just go ahead and get started? What do we,
Time for Average Joe's News, the premier news source for Steve the Pirate.
Joe's the only place for Steve.
The first thing we got, and this is kind of old news, but at the same time, I think it needs to be addressed. Let's go and just talk about Saginaw versus Delta. Now, that game was interesting to me in the fact that Saginaw lost.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. I know the message boards were pretty heated prior to that game. Some smack talk, you know, just jokingly. Some actual smack talk going on, so... You know, to see a result that I think probably shocked a lot of people was, yes, extremely interesting.
I just love it. I mean, I was sitting there. I knew the game was occurring, but I didn't know what was happening. And then all of a sudden, I got a text from Jazzy, just like, they lost. They lost. I can't believe they lost. And I laughed. I gotta say, I laughed a little bit because, like you said, it was just very shocking.
Well, the reason I laughed is because I realized, as you know, Western Kentucky, how utterly screwed we are if there is a team out there who can beat Saginaw after we just got the floor, you know, wiped with our face at the UK tournament. So for me, it was kind of more of a fearful type of laugh, but yes, I cannot speak on behalf of Benjamin.
I'm scared. I'm pretty scared, but I'm also excited because that means, like, it's not just Saginaw and
Grand Valley.
That's it. Like, Delta is a force, and you don't want to mess with them at all.
Well, you know, like we said, on the website, a lot of people just kind of counted Delta out in this one. This whole season in general, there were kind of rumors swirling that Delta was not even going to have a team, you know, let alone scrape together enough talent to beat such a well-established program as Saginaw Valley. But I will, you know, stand in on Saginaw's behalf and say that I know that they didn't have some of their players there, and their captain said they played very poorly, you know, which is just part of it. You're always going to have bad games. You just hate when it's in a kind of a rivalry game like this.
That's for sure. And like you said, like I was, I mean, I talked to Dave a few times on Facebook, and he was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen. We have some of the best players, like, in the game right now, but there's only two or three of them. We need 15 really good players if we're going to compete. And, I mean, props to them. They got it together. They got it together, and they did it, and I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, a lot of, you know, after playing some games, I think a lot of what people maybe misunderstand about college dodgeball is, you know, it's not necessarily the teams with the best athletes that win games the most often. It's the teams that strategize, that know how their opponents play, and can counteract that. You know, if you have a fast-paced, up-tempo team like Saginaw, you want to slow it down and grind it out with them, and that's what Delta did. And I think, you know, it proved successful because chances are they didn't have, you know, better players than Saginaw did. You know, just because if there's rumors you're not going to have a team together, you know, I would be very shocked if you pulled enough people out of the woodwork at the last second to rival, you know, a team like Saginaw as far as talent goes. So that's just my, you know, opinion on that as far as, you know, a big part of the game, I think, that goes unnoticed.
What I would like to, I'm going to have to just, you know, I wasn't there, so I'm going to have to guess what happened, and I'm going to have to say ball control was a big thing. You can't let Saginaw have a majority of the balls. I think Delta had to have just taken control of the game. That's how you're going to slow it down with Saginaw. Like, if they have balls, they're not going to slow down ever. Mm-hmm. Delta had majority of the balls and was able to use it correctly. And that's just a guess. Tell me if I'm wrong there, but I really think that was the deciding factor in slowing down a game against Saginaw.
Yeah, and that was, you know, we're looking here at the story on the website, and it appears that the Cardinals of Saginaw Valley really had a good shot right before halftime. It says they had a 7-2 man advantage with 4 minutes left in the first half. It looks like Delta, though, was able to kind of prevent Saginaw from getting that point. So, you know, good job. Props to Delta for surviving, you know, a serious, you know, deficit like that right close to halftime and hanging on, because if I had to guess just from a standpoint where we didn't actually see the game, I would probably say that was the turning point in the game, would be holding them off on that. So
that's a very good point, I think.
So, you know, I think that in the future, you know, once these teams get a chance at a rematch, it might be a different story, it might be the same story. Who knows? But I think Delta, this was a huge win for them because it showed them how to beat Saginaw. It exposed Saginaw's weaknesses. So I think, like Janik said, though, they're going to get back to work and do some things differently in practice and probably come out as a different team in the rematch.
And now your game time preview.
Well, at least that wasn't weird.
And speaking of rematches, they might actually get together this weekend, won't
That's
they?
That's what I've heard, yes.
What is it called? The Michigan
Dodgeball Cup.
Michigan Dodgeball Cup.
Or the MDC. Is taking place tomorrow, actually, February 8th. Between six Michigan teams, and that is going to be at Michigan State University this year. So a great tradition in college dodgeball is going to be taking place this Sunday, and I think we're going to try to talk about that for a little bit. Ben, what are your feelings on the clash between Michigan's finest?
You know what? I don't even know what to say, because obviously the core of dodgeball is in Michigan. There's no doubt about that. All the power players are up there, and to get them all in one place is just going to be it's going to be really interesting to see the outcome. Because now you've got several good teams there, and it's just, I don't even know, man. It's interesting. How many there are with Grand Valley? Mm-hmm. But you got to. Grand Valley State is just, they're too good. I don't know how they're not going to win this, though.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, I would definitely agree with you on that. I think Grand Valley's got to be, you know, a favorite going into this thing, considering they haven't lost, I think, in several thousand years. And but here's the thing. They haven't played in months. I mean, their last game was an extremely long time ago. They've been 3-0 for a long time, whereas
That's true.
Like Saginaw and, you know, Delta have gotten in some recent games. And I think that's going to, you know, I think that's going to show. I mean, I think Grand Valley, without a doubt, is the best players in the nation. But I think experience, you know, really counts for a lot. And, you know, Saginaw is going to come back hungrier after their loss to Delta. Delta has a little bit of confidence going in, so... You know, you can't count any team out in this, I don't think. But, I, you know, I definitely think you're right saying that right now Grand Valley is the favorite.
I also like to point out, I'm excited to see Henry Ford Community College going in there. Like, if you can go into a game against Saginaw Valley, first ever game, and then want to play more,
yeah,
you've obviously got some dodgeballs.
Yes, some large dodgeballs.
That was a pun. I'm sorry, that was a very bad pun. I'm not going to say that ever again. So, but, I mean, they're going to be playing against Michigan State, Delta, Central Michigan, Saginaw Valley, and, of course, Grand Valley State. So those are your teams. And
well, let's give a real quick rundown. Of course, you know, I think we both like Grand Valley to go ahead and take this thing. You know, I think that while they may be a little bit rusty in their first couple games, you know, this is a very seasoned team, a very veteran team. A school that has a pool of over 80 players to choose from, I don't think is ever going to lose. So, yeah, obviously I think we both like them going in. So, Ben, what do you think about Saginaw's chances?
They're gonna have a good chance. I know they don't like losing. No one likes losing, but Saginaw Valley has made it their goal this year to play as many games as possible. They're going to get that. They're out there, and they're getting the experience they need. And, that's going to be their edge over Grand Valley. Whether it actually, you know, allows them to win, I don't know, but that is a good point.
Here's the thing that we brought up, and I think in another podcast or some type of something on the website, was that each time Saginaw has played Grand Valley throughout this history of this rivalry, the margin of defeat for Saginaw has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller each time. So, especially with Saginaw getting a lot of great experience this past semester, I think that you're going to see, if they get a chance to play again, we don't know what the seedings are, who's playing who right off the bat. I think you're going to see that margin of defeat, if indeed it is a Grand Valley win, shrink even more.
If not, just be a win. Like, Saginaw, I mean, I think it kind of depends on when they play them. If they play them right off the bat, like a first game, I think Grand Valley is going to have a little bit more of an advantage, but you tire them down. Saginaw was they ran a marathon and they still did great against Kentucky the last game in the Kentucky tournament, and they still just romped everybody. So I think the later Saginaw plays Grand Valley, the better chances they have.
Absolutely, and you know, I think something important to point out is that, you know, Saginaw maybe should take a little something away from, you know, their defeat at the hands of Delta and apply a little bit of Delta strategy to this game if indeed, you know, they do end up playing Grand Valley, which is learn how to beat these guys. I mean, Grand Valley, you know, has, you know, the best arms in the, you know, in the association, no doubt. But I think it was a quote from a Michigan State guy I saw on the message board, says that doesn't mean those balls can't be caught. You know, you've got to play smart. You've got to kind of grind it out with these guys. You cannot let them push you and play the game they want to play, because if that happens, it's over. So I guess using that, we'll go ahead and segue into Delta's chances. I mean, you know, I think this team's kind of still an enigma right now.
It's still a mystery about how good they are. I mean, there have been rumors that Saginaw didn't play well, but how good is Delta then? You know, we don't really know. And it's going to show right here, I think.
Yeah, I think their performance will be a very good indicator. I mean, this is the best competition that you can face in the nation, is these teams out of Michigan. So I think we're going to find out real quick what all these teams are made of. And I think, you know, especially Delta, since they're kind of still an enigma at this point.
But they've got this big burst of energy after beating Saginaw, and it's going to really show. They're going to be really confident going into those next games, and they're going to play really well. They're going to play as a team because they know they have to if they want to win.
Yeah, and I guess that brings us down to Kind of a, you know, a newer team in the Dodgeball Heartland, Central Michigan, the Chippewas. And, you know, I wouldn't say struggled, because anytime you play those Michigan teams, you know, you're obviously going to be playing at the highest level of competition. So a 0-2 record as of right now is nothing to frown at all. You know, I haven't really seen this team in action too much, or had much communication with them, so I can't really speak too much about, you know, how I think they'll perform. I think they'll be a mid-level team in this tournament, probably.
I would love to see these guys play, because, I mean, just reading some of this stuff on the forums and on the website, it's just they're all about fun, and God love them. That's what dodgeball should be about. And I mean, there's no doubt there's a competitive aspect to it. These guys got it right. I think it's like, well, we're going to win if we don't party too much the night before, or we're going to win if we don't do something stupid. We're just going to go out there and have fun, and I would really love to see you all play.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of a, you know, personal connection with CMU, just because I see a lot of, you know, our team, Western Kentucky University, in them, in that we are both very young programs, I believe, both in our second season in the NCDA, so we're obviously going to be, you know, taking our lumps. You know, against more seasoned teams. So good luck to you guys. I mean, I know we're kind of going through the same thing you are right now, with just the level of competition and the experience just kind of, you know, overwhelming us at times. So,
but I think that's a necessary part of becoming a dodgeball team, and you know, kind of creating this legacy. And I think they're gonna start making this into a family type thing, and by that I mean they're gonna just be really close friends with all their buddies in the dodgeball team, and it's gonna make them work together that much better. And I'm really interested to see how they do.
Yeah, me too. And we have the dinosaurs, if you will, of college dodgeball, Michigan State.
Dinosaurs.
Well, I mean, they helped write the rules, so you can't say that this is not a very old veteran team.
But dinosaur. All right, we'll go with the dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinosaurs. Very, very young dinosaurs. Maybe like Komodo dragon or something. They're still around. You know, this is just the granddaddy of all teams. You know, the host team this year for the Michigan Dodgeball Cup. So I think, you know, anytime you can have home court advantage, that plays into your favor.
Oh yeah. Get a lot of people out there, Michigan. You need every fan you can possibly get. Just overwhelm them every time you get a hit. That crowd needs to erupt and just demoralize whoever you're playing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this team's advantage has always been their experience,
mm-hmm,
and their leadership and their teamwork. We saw that firsthand, yeah, at the you know, the Kentucky Classic, how well these guys understand the game. You know, because they've been there from the very beginning, and you never can discount that. They're not the best athletes. They're not the best players. You know, some of their players are very young, a little inexperienced, but that leadership base they have is just rock solid, and I think you can never discount that.
Oh yeah, I think we underestimated them. We were like, oh yeah, we can probably beat Michigan State University. We get in there and we didn't even know how to react. I mean, they just threw in so many just like kind of trick throws and all this other junk, and every throw hit us in the feet, and we just didn't know how to handle it. They just worked as a team, and it got them the win. And I was really, well, upset because we didn't win, but at the same time, impressed, very impressed.
Yeah, you gotta have respect for people that, you know, come out there, you know, looking like they don't stand a snowball's chance in hell and just completely demolish you. Mm-hmm. So that definitely took us down a peg. And as a, you know, word of warning to the other Michigan teams in this tournament, watch your feet against Michigan State, because like Ben said, they like the feet shots, and those are pretty hard because no one likes to jump in the NCDA for some reason.
But it's just, I don't know, it's just so hard. Like, they throw normally, but then somehow it just ends up at your feet, or they have, like, underhanded throws. It's just, it was really cool, and bad for us.
Yes,
for
very bad. Yes, and then finally we have the new kids on the block, Henry Ford Community College. God love these guys. You know, it's a first-year team. There's been a little bit of, you know, rumors going around that they might actually not have enough people to show up at this tournament, so that would be a shame. You know, go grab people off the street. I mean, I literally last, you know, our first season was calling people, you know, pulling people out of the stands to come play for us. So, you know,
did you really?
Yeah, people I really did. A kid came to watch us our first time up at the Kentucky Classic, and we had to put on a jersey on him and have him play. So,
That's beautiful. That's
yeah,
beautiful
you just make it work because you don't want to start your team at a disadvantage by not having enough people. So, you know, I know that you may be a little stricter up at, you know, Michigan State with this tournament, but Kentucky was very willing to let us pull people in that didn't go to our university and weren't on our team. So,
Chris Wright is their captain. I just want to go ahead and, you know, our hearts go out to your families.
They will miss you
after this tournament. So, just. We're thinking about y'all.
Yeah, no, I mean we were there, you know, as a team. Ben, thank God you weren't. as you know, as a first year team, our first time ever playing an NCAA game. Not fun. Not this past November, but the November before that, a couple years ago. Our second game was against the Grand Valley State University, and gotta say, you know. One of the most terrifying moments of my life, without a doubt. I don't think there's any question about that. Seeing balls coming at you so fast, it's just a red blur. Yeah, I had to go change my pants after that game. I'm not going to lie. That was quite terrifying.
But now we got people that do that, so it's a little bit... Well, I don't think we have that great of arms yet, but I think we're getting our confidence, so... Maybe we can not pee our pants this next time?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be peeing our pants by any stretch, but...
We'll be intimidated, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when those balls start flying, you know, there is some definite fear that goes through your heart just because you see your whole life flash before your eyes. You know, and I... You know, my hat is just off to, you know, any team that can pull those many good players in. But, all right, let's go ahead and get down and give a prediction for... You know, like I said, we don't have any idea what the seedings are, who's going to play who, the schedule, anything like that. But just going with a completely open field, Ben, who would you put in the championship game of this thing?
I'm going to have to go ahead and say that it's going to be Grand Valley and Saginaw. These are just two powerhouse teams, and I think their experience and their hard work is going to pay off, and they're going to be the ones playing. And in the end... I'm going to have to give the edge to Grand Valley. It's just every single time. And until Saginaw can beat them and, you know, put doubt in my mind, then Saginaw or Grand Valley is going to be my pick.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and, just for the sake of argument, go ahead with a little upset and go Grand Valley versus Delta in the championship. I think that, you know, in reality, I could see Saginaw versus Grand Valley, but yeah, there's something about this Delta team that just strikes me as, you know, a good match for Saginaw just based on how they play. You know, like we said earlier, they don't have the best players in the world, but they know how to get the job done, and in college dodgeball, that is very important. So I'll go ahead and say Grand Valley versus Delta, battle of the unbeatens. And I'll go ahead and, like you said, take Grand Valley because, you know, they could be matched up against a team of, you know, all Jesuses and it would still be a massacre. Sorry if we blasphemed, but that's the truth.